have the pledge and application.
Gracious God, we gather with gratitude for the privilege of serving this college and its community. As we undertake the work before us, we ask for your guidance in strengthening this institution for the benefit of all it serves. Bless our efforts to expand opportunity that student enrollment may grow and reflect the promise of our community. Support our commitment to student success, that retention may be strengthened and graduation rates increased, opening doors to brighter futures. Grant us wisdom as we steward our resources and pursue sustainable funding, that we may provide quality education, support our faculty and staff, and meet the evolving needs of our students. Help us to lead with integrity, collaborate with purpose, and make decisions that are thoughtful, just, and forward-looking. May our work today contribute to lasting growth, stability, and opportunity for generations to come. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You might notice that our colleague Rod Thompson is not here. He's having some procedures done, so you might want to keep him in your prayers. He's doing fine. Everything's great. I'm not trying to say that, but he's had some medical issues over the last year or so, so he's not here today for those reasons. Public comments. Nobody wants to talk to us. That's good. Okay. Mr. President Gregory.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, everyone. A few things to note today. First is we are live today. The camera is running, and that is a link through Microsoft Teams. You have to go through the college system to be able to view it, but that way employees that can't be here, if they have the opportunity, they can watch it there. And as always, all of our meetings are recorded and posted online, so if they don't have that opportunity to have that later. And of course, Susan takes great minutes for us, which are always in the packet for the following month, our minutes from last meeting. So lots of ways for people to see what's taking place here. A few things I want to put on your radar. One is that we received a request from the state, what we thought would be a pretty simple host, a middle school debate championship for the state of Florida. We thought maybe they would want to use the Neal Auditorium and one or two other rooms. But once the details actually flowed in, we had already raised our hands, and we're happy to do this. But it turns out on Saturday, April 18th, we're going to host 512 middle school students from around the state, 100 coaches, all of their parents, and guests that they want to bring with us. So Saturday, April 18th, will be a very busy day today. Our on-scene commander will be Jamie Smith. She's got the lead for the college running all of that, but as you can imagine, that impacts every department here. So that's a big lift for us. We'll be able to show off a little bit and maybe recruit some middle school students as future students right here at SCF. The second thing I want to put on your radar is all the great work that the foundation is doing. You can see in the presidential report I gave you the next two events that we have, and of course not just for you, but for the entire college community. I hope that we have a lot of good participation at Evening Under the Stars. That is our showcase event on the Venice campus every year. I think, what is this, our 38th year we've done that. And then this year will be the first year we're having on May 12th what we're calling the Lighting the Path Healthcare Luncheon to focus on our healthcare sciences. And, you know, you're going to hear from PT today. We heard from OT last time. So we really want to put a highlight on all the great work we're doing here. And that'll be the first time. That's at the Grove in Lakewood Ranch. And then finally, also from the foundation, you have a request or a flyer, really. If you haven't reviewed scholarships, I hope you will consider doing so this year. If you have done it, I'm sure you're going to raise your hand again. Because once you get the swing of it, it doesn't take long. You know, you first review it. It may take you an hour or so to review 10 scholarships, which is the number we ask you to do to get started. But after that, you can review each one really 5 minutes or so, plus or minus. It's essentially two essays, 150 words or less for these students, and you will hear from them in their own words all of their stories. So whether they are a straight A student breezing through and, you know, just based on their merit and their hard work, we have scholarships available, or they are juggling a part-time job or a full-time job or two jobs and taking care of little ones at home, you'll hear the full range of stories, and I think it will be inspirational for you, as it is for me, when you learn the challenges that our students are overcoming and the great work that they're doing. It'll make graduation all the more special for you, so really encourage anyone.
How do we sign up?
You have this flyer. Thanks.
Thanks for that.
TV self-help style. You have this flyer. You essentially just contact Lori or Cassandra at the foundation. But on this flyer, you can go right to the website and send them an email and sign up. And that's all I got.
Oh, you got a lot of things that you did this month. You know, two pages back to back.
We were busy.
Good deal. Mission moment. Physical therapy.
Yes.
Everyone turns the fire. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is April Tennis. I am the director of the Physical Therapy Assistant Program. I'm also an alumni of the program. I graduated in 2014, so my heart is in this program, and so we're very excited to share with you all today. I did go on and receive my Master's of Education in Leadership at UF, so go Beavers. Sorry, FSU. you can go ahead. I have with me one of our students. Her name is Shana Martin, and she'll be sharing a little bit with you about her experience in the program. So you heard from occupational therapy last month. Does anyone remember the difference between OTA versus PTA? Kind of. Everyone's had maybe some PT, maybe some OT happening. We like to call ourselves the masters of movement. So we analyze, we problem solve movement for our patients. We focus on gross motor skills, strengthening, endurance, coordination, the things that they need to be able to do so that they can, for example, get out of bed, walk over to the bathroom, and stand in front of that mirror. Once they get to the mirror, that's when occupational therapy kicks in and they work on some of those fine motor skills, such as brushing their teeth or washing their face, the things that they need to do for their daily activities and of living. So our program aims to focus on those movements, things that our patients need to be able to do to get where they're going. And within that, they are given an Associate of Science degree. They earn 74 credits in the program. It's a two-year program with 1 year of prerequisites. So they enter the program with a foundation of anatomy and physiology through, hopefully, SPS courses. And then they proceed through the program throughout the 2 years. It's fall, summer, or fall, spring, and then another fall and spring, and then they graduate in May. We are accredited by CAPSE, the Commission on Accreditation of Physical Therapy Education. We just went through an accreditation with them, so we are accredited for the next 10 years, which is amazing. We're very excited about that. In order for our PTAs to be licensed, they need to have graduated from an accredited college, so that's why it's very important to us for that. We are a limited enrollment program. Our applicants apply during our enrollment period, which is March 1st through June 1st, and we rank those applicants in a very objective manner where we will take all of the applicants, we'll see what prerequisites they have completed, and then we order them by GPA. We select 24 to 26 students, and that is one cohort per year. They start in the fall. We accepted 24 this year. We offered more to 10/24, we're trying to hit that 26 of qualified applicants to enroll and grow the program, so that is our aim for that. And we have had so far applicants, we have 25 applicants already. We only ended up with 32 last year, but in our efforts to grow that application pool, we've been hosting open houses, we've been out in the community, setting up tables to just tell the community about how wonderful the teaching program is here at FBS. Here's our outcome data. So here we're just showing the completed year of 2025, since we don't have the completion of the graduation rate and the board's exam result yet for 2026. That's why it's not included. But here you see the total applicants is 68. Our class size that we started with was 24. And then we graduated 19. Our graduation rate was a little lower that year. However, I believe with our pass rate did increase. So because of that relationship, that's why you're seeing the lower number and then the higher NPTE pass rate. NPTE is our national boards exam. That is the board that they're required to take in order to get licensure. So we're really excited and happy about that rate, that percentage there, because the national percentage is 88%. So we're well above that. We do have a strong clinical partners and community relationship with all of our clinics in the area. We also stretch out to Tampa, and then we go as far as Fort Myers. We also have a few in Plantation. And that goes to show that we are pulling students from all of these areas. We do try to get our students clinical sites that are closer to their homes. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of commuter students. There's quite a few of this class as well. We have students who drive up from Cape Coral. We have students who drive from Northport, Tampa, Tennessee, all of those different areas. So in order to give them a little break and increase their money reserves by not having to spend it on gas coming to class, we think that we can do that job and give them a clinical rotation closer to home. With that being said, we do have relationships with many of the area hospitals. We have HCA under contract for clinical rotations. We have, which includes Blake, Doctors, Tampa Jones, all of those hospitals. We also have SMH. They provide rotations for our students in acute care, and then also outpatient rehab facilities as well. We have quite a few skilled nursing facilities around the area and outpatient. One of our bigger supporters is Coastal Orthopedics. They're very well known in our community. And then also we reach out into schools when there's a school at Oak Park Elementary. And with that being said, our second years, our students are getting ready to graduate here in May. They just came back from a 7-week clinical rotation, their final rotation, so we're very excited to welcome them back. And one of our second years is Shayna, and so she's going to share with you a little bit about her experience in the program.
Good morning. So like she said, my name is Shayna, and I actually have been at SPF for a while. So I started when I was 15 dual enrolling here. So I got to do that in high school, get a lot of school credits before. But I have just really enjoyed my experience in this program, and my clinical experience especially has just been so helpful in making me understand how much I love this field and how excited I am to get into it. So we had three different clinical experiences. I got to go to an outpatient clinic, and I got to go to Oak Park School, which was a special education school for kids, and I really enjoyed that one. And then my favorite one so far was my last one, which was at Encompass Health, this hospital. So I was there for 7 weeks treating the patients, and my clinical instructors at every location have just loved SPF students, and they said that they feel like the students are really well prepared going into their clinical rotation. So, welcome to the program. But with my last one, they were like, you should interview and everything. So I actually secured a job there. So once I graduate and get my license, I work at the hospital. So
outside of clinical experiences, I feel like our labs have really prepared us for it. So we had simulation with the teachers are helping us understand what patients will really be like and how to plan treatment, make good clinical decisions, and also club activities. We did the health benefits fair, and we did posture analysis with people, and balance assessment, and taking vitals with people at the health benefits fair. And our first year students,
our first year students just came back from the Florida Physical Therapy Association student conference, where they get to network with other PT and PTA students in the areas and all over Florida. They get to hear from guest speakers and just kind of immerse themselves into the whole physical therapy world and what that would feel like. So they were so excited, and we are going to offer that every year, so that they can go and have that experience. And with new developments, so this is something that has come from one of our professional development days that have been thinking about how we can grow our program, how we can keep students here, and make sure that we're following in what the trajectory is for the college. So what I did is I went and contacted the director of the Health Services Administration program, and we were able to figure out how we could make a dual track for our PTA students to stay at the college and complete not only their associate's but also a bachelor's degree. Because some of our students, every year when I teach the last course that they have, we bring in Heather Reed, and she comes and talks to them about the bachelor's program, and we do have students who follow through with that and complete it. Well, I thought our prerequisites are kind of similar, and they have to do with the same courses for both a lot of times, so we decided that we could make it work for that student who would want to take them both at the same time. Or if they're waiting to get into our program, they can take courses and continue to take courses as they are, you know, waiting, and take summer courses that go towards their bachelor's degree. So there is a curriculum map for this, and Tyler helped and Billy helped us put together something that would work, and so we will be, you know, marketing this as we go forward, and I'm really excited about that development to help students continue on their goals. So that's all I have for you all today. If you have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer those questions.
First of all, thank you so much for what you do. As someone, I spend a lot of time in physical therapy and OT world with my son, so I see the power of your profession and the difference that it makes. I also just think this is so innovative for you to see how to offer this to students to provide a growth pathway. One of my greatest challenges in the community is the shortage and like the wait time to get to see a PT or a PTA. So what I love about this is you're giving them the skills to maybe start their own clinic or partner with somebody else and be able to be in management. And I think that's terrific. One of my questions is, do you have need for additional clinical sites for your students, or are you set?
We have over 100 clinical sites right now. Contracts. We are always looking for new sites because we like to give our students a variety, and we are always open for them to come to us and say, I really am excited and interested in this specific area, and we will actually go out and get contracts with a clinic that does that specialty. So we are always looking for clinical partners. We don't necessarily have what I would consider a need, but I love to give that variety, so I am always welcoming new contacts.
Well, I'd love to chat with you after. I would love to talk about like been working with Easter Seals Hippotherapy Program in Stride, as well as, I don't know if you pursue John Hopkins All Children.
We do have John Hopkins.
You do have them, okay. I just, one of my big focuses is on children, because I think this community really needs additional people like you. So in any case, if I can be helpful, please let me know.
Thank you. I will definitely.
Questions?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Is your program taught just here on the Bradenton campus?
Yes, it's just on this Bradenton campus. We do branch out a little bit and go out to the nursing simulation center out in Lincoln Ranch, but all of our core classes are here.
Okay. Any other questions?
How many applicants do you get that you only take 25 of?
So our applicant pool last year was a little lower. We were at 32. This year we're already at 25, and we don't close until June 1st. We just opened March 1st, so I anticipate the applicant pool to be even more than that 32 that we had last year. So.
How many instructors do you have on your staff?
We have two full-time plus me, so we have our general education, and we have another full-time faculty. So just three of us.
After graduation, what is the process? Do they have a residency they have to perform, or are they ready to go to work?
So after they graduate, they'll sit for their boards exam, which is only offered at certain times during the year. Then the one that they are ready for will be July, beginning of July. So they study for that. They apply for their license with the Department of Health. They take that exam, they pass it, and then they're ready to go. They can do what is called a temporary license and work at a clinic underneath a physical therapist in between that time that they acquire their license. So they don't need any other residencies or any other clinical rotations or anything like that after they graduate.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Which graduation ceremony will we see you at?
We're not sure yet. I did reach out to graduation, and they said that they are going to let us know as soon as they can about which one.
Should be 7 p.m.
7. Okay, we'll be at 7.
Are you walking across the stage, or are you doing a grad walk for the student? Which
Shane?
I'm not walking. I walked previously, and I got my doctor's at USF, so I just have not to walk. Here.
We'll chat after. Grad walk will be great.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
We're excited for it.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. If anyone has a question, feel free to reach out to me.
As you walk by, I might say that Arthur Balladay and I had a conversation the other day, and he was complaining he couldn't find enough physical therapists.
There is a need in our community. I had someone just reach out the other day and say we have two openings. I believe that they're all postal and always looking. We love Validate. I used to work for Validate as a physical therapist assistant. So there is a need in our community for more employees.
Well, anything this board can do to help you expand that program, just let us know.
Thank you.
We'd love to see it expand.
Thank you. We'd love to watch.
Thanks, guys.
CFO, Jeffrey Price.
The financial statements that were released in the board book are through January 31st. You'll notice they're pretty consistent with expectations and where we were in the prior year, which is still producing positive year-to-date margins and reflecting a management of our expense activity. There is one variance I just wanted to bring to everybody's attention because it was so large in this particular time frame, and that's with the Collegiate School in Venice campus. Variance number one, it's the change in state-supported revenue, and I just wanted to explain that that is driven by the timing of local capital improvement income. It's not new funding. It's not to be viewed as a new recurring revenue source. It's the formula-based capital allocation pass-through from locally generated funds. It's not a standard timeframe. It can change from year to year when they release those funds. It depends on legislation and funding percentages. So it can produce variances that seem quite large in any particular period, but they're not. It's not available to be spent on operations. It's only available to be spent on our capital projects. But when you saw that, I think it was like a 700% variance. I just didn't want anybody to be alarmed or think we've got something new.
That's what you mentioned here about timing issues. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, it's just a timing issue. We've gotten it in the past. We'll get it in the future. It's just when we're looking at month to month, we didn't get it in January last year. So
where does that check come from?
It comes from, this one in particular is the county. Sarasota County.
Sarasota
County for Venice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you're telling me that the government produced funding isn't predictable? I find that hard to believe.
Come on.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's it.
God help you, you got to get money out of the federal government. Any questions for our CFO?
Actually, for Brendan Gregory or Jennifer, apropos session ending without a budget, any comments or concerns that we need to be aware of as we go into special session?
Nothing that we're concerned about. I mean, we're still, our advocacy remains the same in terms of what we're asking for from our delegation and from the legislature. We remain hopeful that they're going to resolve and have a budget signed, but we'll see.
Even with the property tax issue, that does affect the charter schools.
I would be opining on. It's really difficult to prepare for that because that would require a ballot amendment, as you know, and voter approval. But I don't anticipate that impacting us.
And from a planning and budgeting standpoint, we're remaining conservative, not expecting any new significant allocations this cycle. So our budget planning has been focusing on refining our operating expenditures and basically taking a look at what we think our enrollment predictions are going to be and not counting on too much in terms of recurring.
Questions? Thank you. Great report. You've taken away all my questions I used to ask. Okay. Your narrative was so good.
That's
thank
my
you.
Job.
You answered all the questions. All right. Approval of the non-financial consent agenda. Are there any exhibits that you'd like to take out? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
A motion?
Second.
There's a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Thank you very much. The approval of the financial consent agenda. Any exhibits you'd like to take out? Talk about. Any problems? Okay. Hearing none, the chair will entertain a motion to adopt.
So moved.
Second.
Moved. Second. Further discussion? Hearing none, we'll come to a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Thank you very much. We're now going to enter into a public hearing. About our fee schedule and final actions. So, I open the public hearing. Are there any comments? Hearing none, take a motion to. Oh, sorry, Jennifer.
I think you want me to talk a little bit. This item is bringing forward the college's proposed 26-27 fee schedule for your approval in accordance with our Florida statutes and our internal rule frameworks. It's part of our annual review. This is not a revenue-driven adjustment. This is a cleanup and alignment effort to ensure that our fee schedule is accurate, transparent, and consistent. The key changes, if I'll walk you through them real quick. Number one, our course number revisions. The first set reflects curriculum updates approved through our academic governance. Several of the dental hygiene courses are being updated from a C designation to an L designation, which just properly reflects their laboratory-based structures. So we're just ensuring that our courses are labeled, you know, in conjunction with how they're actually delivered instructionally. So we're clearing up understanding there. Course fee eliminations, we're taking out some outdated fees. There's a small number of courses that are no longer offered or no longer require a dedicated fee. So again, this is a cleanup effort. There's no budget or revenue change associated with that. The insurance fee update, our insurance fees are being updated to appropriately include those courses that either involve hazardous materials or off-campus training. And we just want to make sure that the costs are aligned with the actual risk exposure and the program requirements. And then finally, testing fee clarifications. We're updating language to remove references to obsolete testing and to clarify that testing services are limited to students. So there is no budget amendment, again, associated with any of these items. The fees continue to be student supported and tied directly to the specific course. This is our maintenance and alignment update.
Any questions or further clarity on this issue? Is there any other public comment? Hearing none, we'll go on. I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
It is now closed. Any other discussion before we vote on Exhibit J? Hearing none, I'll accept the motion to adopt Exhibit J.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion now carried. Thank you. You have in your packet the ongoing project list and where we're at. Questions, Chris will answer them now as he talks to us about our projects and updates.
All right, so page 49 of the board packet, you'll find my board memo requesting project approval for two projects. Again, any project over $150,000 requires board approval. The first project, and I'll get separate approvals for each of these, please. Lakewood Ranch Campus, CIP Building, Nursing Auditorium, decades-old technology from an audio-video standpoint, time to upgrade it. We got a budget of $250,000 coming from our capital reserves. This project's a little unique. It's got a rear projection system that's there now. Antiquated. You got a little bit of wall construction that'll need to take place. We're going to upgrade this space with our latest, greatest technology, remote teaching capabilities, cameras, microphones. We're going to do a little bit with the lighting so faculty members can control the lighting levels to enhance the presentation. We hope we can get this summer if we can get a few times pushed back on it. So requesting board approval for the Lakewood Ranch CIP Nursing Auditorium AD upgrade.
So any questions for Chris before we go to vote?
Chris, this is the auditorium behind the kind of entry desk? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay. Not exactly. How many does that seat? That's pretty big.
What is it?
150.
The workhorse.
Okay, should I entertain a motion to adopt this expenditure?
So moved.
Motion?
Second.
Further discussion? Hearing none, call the vote. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion carries. Chris?
Thank you. So the second project is dealing with our uninterruptible power supply of UPSs college wide. So you'll see phase one there. So this has got a budget of $300,000 coming from our capital reserve. This is addressing the UPS systems that we know support our critical infrastructure. So your IDF, MDF rooms that house our network switches, our servers, that absolutely cannot fail. So we're very confident in those UPS have seen their useful life. The equipment's operating, we can no longer get parts. So we're going to go at this at a sprinter's pace. The phase two piece of this, I've got an engineering study going on right now assessing college-wide all the other UPS. So for example, for years we've had a computer lab that was tied to the UPS part of the building system. Now that computer lab is just a general classroom and doesn't require UPS. So we need to get our heads wrapped around the rest of the UPS system. So there's more to come. We just got to get smart on that front. So for now, looking for project approval to address that, the critical UPS budget of $300,000 coming out of capital reserve.
Yes, sir.
How old is the existing UPS systems for that?
How old are they?
Yeah.
They're definitely 20 years. So we are very diligent about companies coming in.
Yeah, they normally don't last more than 10.
Yeah.
Okay, further discussion on this issue? Hearing none, chair entertain a motion to adopt.
Motion.
Second.
Further discussion? Hearing none, call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion carries.
Thank you. So I'm very excited to show you this picture, and it's the most recent aerial of the parish progress going on. We've got Fort Hammer here. We got Erie. We got the Parish High School sitting over here. We did our groundbreaking ceremony there. So you can see the site development's going on. They're establishing grades. The retention pond's going in. You can see the roundabout starting to take shape. We're going to have a parking lot here. There's a back parking lot there. This is going to be a chiller plant. But you can start to see the building footprint take its shape. So the elevator pits poured, the foundations are poured, there's a stem wall on this building, so the masonry block is going up, and then by the end of April, we should have the slab poured. Starting this week, on this side of the property, the lift station's going in. That's a coordinated effort with Manatee County. We'll install, maintain it. Obviously, we're going to dump into the county sanitary sewer. That's a 40-foot depth lift station, so it's pretty deep there. We got all our infrastructure coming in on this side of the lift station. All the future stub outs are going to live here for the future campus expansion. We have two separate, we're going to have a loop electrical system coming in through Peace River. One's going to come in off Fort Hammer, the other is going to come off at Erie. So all that infrastructure you're going to start seeing going into the ground. So we had a slow start. Absolutely brutal time getting our permits to the jurisdictions. I had an easier time at Kennedy Space Center on a National Wildlife Refuge. But we're there. Now you got Tandem, all their subcontractors absolutely going at it at a sprinter's pace. They've made up ground. So we're in really great shape. Get that slab poured by the end of April. Meet the rainy season. We're looking good.
Still looking for a May opening of 27.
May of 27, yep. If I can answer any questions on there. Thank you.
Are you finished?
I'm done.
Chris and I spent a great deal of time with the architects on Friday down in Venice, getting kicked off the collegiate school down there, and it'll be up there too, because we're using the same blueprints of both places. The slight modification to save money. Had a great input from our staff, which I thought was important with the architect, and we wanted them to talk to them up front about how they wanted their school to look and what they require. Obviously, they need want things that we can't give them, but great input, and we've gotten that project started. So Chris did a great job down there. I'd like to take just a second, since we're sort of on time. Chris told me a story from when he first got here that I think maybe the board should be shared with. 2013, when you started?
Mm-hmm.
Your first building. We got funding from the state to build this building. And the state, at that time, would give you X amount of dollars for a construction project. Plus, they recognized the fact that you had to have maintenance. So they gave you a second chunk of money to operate that building after it was built. Sadly, that doesn't happen anymore. But you can see what the buildings that we built since 2013, how many square foot we've added without the state's operational funds coming in to help us maintain those buildings. The challenge has been on us to find other avenues of income to try and pay for this. Parish, as you know, we told you, is about $600,000 a year that we don't have right now. But it's a very great challenge that we can build all the buildings you want, but somebody's got to turn to pay for the lights and mowing the grass. And that's where we've always constantly fighting that financial battle. So I just thought it was interesting that they used to consider that and they have stopped. All right. Thank you very much, Chris. Old business become before the board. Any old business? Hearing none. Any new business? All right. Well, Ms. Holmes has a bunch of stuff to talk to us about.
Okay. So today we're going to share how philanthropy impacts the college in a real-world environment. And it's my pleasure to introduce Professor Ingrid, which is leading our college's dual enrollment, dual language nursing program. So I'll let her take it away. And it really shows and demonstrates the impact that our donors are having on one program. So thank you, Professor Ingrid.
Well, thank you for the invitation. First and foremost, I would like to say good morning to everyone. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity of being here today. Before I introduce our student, I would like to highlight something very interesting about being a dual language student. Earning a nursing degree is very challenging in any way, regardless of any circumstances. But imagine doing that in a language that is not your first. Every lecture, every exam, every patient interaction, requires not only clinical knowledge, but the conscious translation, interpretation, and of course a lot of courage. I'm very honored and proud of each one of my dual language students, and I'm very proud today that some of them are here joining in this meeting, because their success is not only measured in grades, but the barriers that they have to overcome. It's not only learning how to be a nurse, but they are doing that while they are bridging languages and cultures. Their journey reminds us that competence in nursing are beyond language. It's rooted in compassion, determination, and strength. And it is with those three quotes that I would like to introduce Sarah Montes. A bilingual nursing student whose determination, resilience, and commitment to patient care can simplify what truly means to persevere. Thank you.
For this opportunity. Today, I stand before you not only as a nursing student, but also as a mother, a woman, and someone who has chosen not to give up. I feel truly honored to be here, and I am grateful for the opportunity to share my story. I decided to pursue nursing because I feel the abuse, calling to help others. For me, nursing is not just a career, it is a purpose. It is a way to serve, to care, and to bring hope to people in their most vulnerable moments. I want every patient under my care to feel seen, heard, respected, and valued as a human being. My greatest motivation comes from my children. They are my strength and inspiration, and the reason I keep moving forward every day. As a single mother, I have taken on both roles, mother and father. It has not been easy, but every sacrifice has a purpose, to give them a better future. Everything I do is for them and for the life we are building together. My daughter dreams of pursuing a career in the medical field, and my son wants to become an engineer. They see me as a role model, and that inspires me to continue growing, learning, and never giving up, even when the path is difficult. I want them to understand that through hard work, dedication, and education, it is possible to overcome any obstacle and achieve our dreams. There was a moment in my life that confirmed I am on the right path, when my daughter had appendicitis, because of what I was learning my nursing style. I was able to recognize her symptoms early and take her to the hospital before her condition became more serious. The experience taught me something very powerful. Knowledge does not only transform life, it can save then even the life of those we love the most. Being part of the dual language nursing program has been a life-changing opportunity for me. It is helping me improve my English, grow as a student, and build the confidence to communicate effectively with patients from different cultural and language backgrounds. I truly believe that no patient should ever feel alone, confused, or afraid because of language barrier. For and support every patient with dignity and understanding. I would like to express my sincere gratitude to Professor Ingrid Medina for her constant encouragement and support. Her work has reminded me that even then the journey is difficult, our dreams are always possible. I would also like to extend my deepest thanks to Britt Reiner for her generosity. Her support represents more than a scholarship. It represents a real opportunity to continue moving forward and building my future. Receiving the patient-centered nursing scholarship has been a true blessing. As a working mother with limited income, financial challenges are part of my daily reality. But this scholarship has given me more than financial support, it has given me peace of mind, hope, and the opportunity to focus on my education with continuing to care for my children. It also represents recognition of my effort and my commitment to keep going. I truly really hope that more students like me can be given this opportunity, because there are many individuals with great passion and a true calling to serve others who only need a helping hand to reach their goals. Investing in education does not just change a student's life, it changes family and entire community. My goal is to continue growing both personally and professionally, becoming a nurse who not only provides clinical care, but also listens, understands, and supports every patient with compassion and respect. I want to make a difference not only in the hospital, but also in the life of others. Thank you for believing in a student like me. Thank you for supporting our education. And thank you for being part of a story like mine. Thank you.
I would like to mention the key support that I feel with my graduate students. When they knew that Sara was coming to perform a speech, when I look back to the beginning, to that first day when I met each one of them. When I met Sara, she only would talk to me, only to me. To see her today, talking not only to the Rwandan students, but to the other traditional students that we take class with and clinicals with, and to today, to see her speaking to you all. It's just let me know that I'm in the right place, doing the right thing. Knowing that the other students, when they realize that I have to come here, and they all decided to come to support us, it shows the bond and the community that we all live in, and that's what truly matters. We have today 7 students in the dual language program. Hopefully one day we'll have more. But with these 7, they might feel that I help them, but in reality, they are shaping me into a better person.
Thank you.
Those of you that are encouraged to read scholarships, also encourage your spouses and relatives or your network of friends to read scholarships. It really does give you that sense of who our students are, and I really hope this is a great example where you really see philanthropy pushing forward the mission of this institution. Thank you so much.
The lighting of the CAF healthcare luncheon, the fundraising for that, I assume, will also be
well.
Yes, so overarching all healthcare.
Right. So that would be OT, PT, radiography, dental hygiene, our nursing program, both ASN and DSN, and then our health services administration.
Thank all of you. Best of luck. Wow. I don't know how you're going to follow that, but more comments. Jen? Any comments? Fred?
I'm usually never at a loss for words, but you have greatly impacted me. Thank you.
Well, I've been on the
board for many years, and that was one of the most emotional and best speeches that I've heard. Thank you.
Ron?
I'm good here.
Jamie?
That was beautiful. It really was. And it's open. Oh, I'm sorry.
Karen, I'm still here. Let's skip right over you.
Final comments? Is that?
Yes, ma'am.
I was especially impressed with the physical therapy presentation and the department offering not only a 2-year degree for certification, but now including a 4-year for administration. That's phenomenal. I love seeing that. Well done.
Just more examples of our anti-AI professional programs that we're building here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We do expand on that. Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
I just love seeing, I've had the opportunity of hearing from a lot of our students, both in the healthcare sector. I decided to have a fight with a plate and a wonderful SDS graduation nurse, a graduating nurse health student. And then I also was at the Women's Resource Center Scholarship Luncheon, where the featured speaker was a SDS LPN student graduate. So it's just really exciting. I mean, you guys are obviously proof of the pudding, so awesome.
Make me very proud to hear young people come back and overcome obstacles to get a great education here. And how proud I am of this board and this staff of making those opportunities come to life within our kids. So thank you all very much. I'm getting out of the joke there. Anything else? Then we stand adjourned. Thank you very much.